Morley, and I'd just like to remind you to mute cell phones if you have them. Our next speaker is Vandana Seifadinipur, and she's going to be talking about the visual mode of language.
Can you hear me when I'm over here and talk? Because I always pace up and down. Okay. Because I get nervous. And I will also start speaking slow, and then I get faster and faster. So slow me down. That's what happens normally. I will dive right into what I'm going to be talking about. So language is fundamentally multimodal. And everyone recognizes that we not only speak, but we gesture and we use gaze to direct attention, and we have body position, and we structure our conversation in certain ways. But still, language documentation still relies heavily on audio recording. The ratio of deposits, for example, in Paradisic, a note they have a lot of legacy material, is still 95% audio recording and only 5% video recording. I can't give you the exact numbers for ALAR at the moment, but that tells you a little bit where we are at. We know that, you know, Nikolaus Simmelmann said that documentation should provide a long-lasting multi-purpose record, so we can ask a lot of different questions. However, if we record in certain ways, there's only a limited amount of questions that we can ask in the future, but also right now. When we find video recordings, when I discuss why people do audio recording and when they do video recording, it's usually when they say, oh yeah, there's a ritual and we're going to film that, and there's a performance and we're going to film that, and the dance is what we're going to film. But often people don't see that it's actually language use that is as rich and that needs to be filmed. And one reason for that is that we are still based on a written bias and an understanding of what we conceptualize and what language is and what our object of study of documentation is based on the written bias. These are two really important people in our field, and if you can recognize, I only chose pictures of Chomsky where he's gesturing. He's moving his hands where he's speaking. And I have Saussure up there, and of course, in the time of Saussure, there was not much going on with video recording, and it was paintings. And it gives a static position of him talking. The reason why I brought up these two very important people in our field is that we are still looking at the duality in our standing of language. What we think about long versus parole, I language versus E language, competence versus performance. The understanding of language that can be reduced to what is audio recorded and that can be written down focuses on this side, on what is understood, what the system is, right? But it is the way we use language, it is parole, e-language, and performance that introduces all the processes that we are theoretically interested in, language change, language shift. Processes that change the grammar, the things that we are describing. But we do not record language use. And if it's recorded, it's an audio. So the way we record limits the possibilities also of corpus utilization and of the people that can work with the corpus that you are collecting. The question that can be asked across disciplines are limited by the type of materials that you put together, but also by the method of recording. Let me give you a very simple, stunning example. I have looked a lot in the archives of people that have recorded procedural text. I love procedural text because it's about making things. It's about how things are done. People explain how fish traps are built. People explain how to weave baskets. People explain how they cook. And then my linguist just transcribes it. And then what I get is, so you take it and then twist it around and pull it through here and you put the top on it and twist it around just like that. If I am lucky, there's a picture of the object, and I can probably think what the it and the that is, but I have no idea how you twist things, right? It's full of demonstrative text. We all know, it's linguistics 101, that language, you know, the indeterminacy problem. And the best thing about it is this is recorded in a face-to-face situation where everyone knows that the speaker can see the interlocutor, and because he can see the interlocutor, they will make use of all the resources. And all the resources to make language beautiful and rich is including gesture, is including gaze, and it's including everything that is specifying all these expressions. And you think, you know all when you talk to a four-year-old on the phone, right? Their theory of mind is limited. My son is 7. When I would call him when he was 4 and said, where is your dad? He would say, over there. Sure. I know that. So if I transcribe this, everyone is going to be like, why? So there is this disconnect between our theoretical understanding, our practical understanding, and our practices. Of course, we get all the grammatical structures, but we don't get semantics, we don't get meaning, and we don't get pragmatics. I love to talk about my son, and I'm gonna switch gears now, and I wanna focus on one modality, and I'm gonna focus on the gestural modality, and what I mean here are the hands. What we do with our hands when we speak, what I do all the time when I speak, and what a lot of you do and think you don't do if you're not Italian. So this is my son, 7. I came home. We have a rule in the house. There's an indoor ball, it's the big soft one, and the outdoor ball, that's the hard baseball. The window was broken, so I said, what happened? And my son said, nothing, I didn't do anything. I was just playing with the ball. And I said, really, with which ball? He said, well, you know, I just grabbed the ball and I threw it. Why are you laughing? How can you just audio record this? The reason is because you can see in the shape of my hand the size of the ball, right? You can see by the strength of the way I jolt my arm forward, the manner of throwing. And you can see by the way I direct my arm, you can see the direction. None of this is encoded in speech. None of it. All is encoded in our hands, and we know from cognitive studies that this is all information that gets cognitively processed and integrated automatically. I'm gonna go, really, linguistics 101. Good old Bühler, with his organon model, says the linguistic sign has 3 functions. It has an expressive function that tells you something about the emotional state. It has something about the receiver, my son trying to convince me that he didn't break the window. But it also has, and that's a particular feature of gesture, the function of representation. With my hands, I can talk about the world in the way I can talk about the world with my words. I can tell you how I did things, what the size are, what the shape are. I can structure abstract concepts by giving them an analog representation. So I can talk about the GOP going backwards. It's a metaphorical expression that's combined with an analog gesture. So it has all the features of a linguistic sign. And what I'm arguing for is that language is multimodal and that it is an integrated system. You have seen my semantic example of I threw the ball, and I will show you 4 more examples to argue for this position just to make the point that it's visual and multimodal and not only what can be written. Gestures can mark discourse structure. But I'm going to first talk about the fact that there are areas of grammar that will lack information if you do not describe the gestural modality that forms an integrated system. Work by David Wilkins from Australia, who worked with the Arendta, shows exactly this. And he talks about pointing gestures and demonstratives and how they form what he calls composite signals. In Arendta, So here we have a paradigm. We're very used to that. Demonstrative system is marked with three expressions, this, that, yon and yonder. It's based on speaker distance, so distance from the speaker, proximal, medial, and distal, and it encodes whether or not someone is certain or uncertain about the information, right? So far, so good. Looks good. Looks like something we know. You have one form with exclusive gestural use. However, this is the gestural system with which it combines. So, in Arendte, the handshape shows you whether you talk about a single object or about an area of objects. It's the handshape that gives you individuation. So you have the individuation. I can say you and point with my index in English and mean you all. An Arendt speaker cannot do that. Children are taught and corrected for this, which always gives you an indication that this is a system, an integrated system. They have a flat hand gesture that goes, which denotes a path, along a path. And they have a horns hand sign that comes out of their sign language, which is a goal of emotion. The height of the arm indicates the distance, whether it's far, medial, or proximal. And of course, the vector, the directionality. So these two information systems combine to an integrated system. If you look in a grammar and only see this, you're missing out because the language is structured such that a lot of the information that the gesture gives is not grammatically encoded. So in order to decode a proposition fully, you have to take both into account. If you only have audio recording, okay. Next one, this is data from Iran. Gesture doesn't only give you semantic information and specify things that are not encoded in language, it also can give you information about information structure. It can mark topic comment structure with gesture combinations. And this is data from Iran. And the combination you're going to see is a combination of a closed handshape like this that then jolts open into this handshape. You can look at Persian miniatures from 600 years ago that denote scenes of negotiations between palaces and shahs. And this handshape you can find in there, namely as a marking of a conversation going on, of a discussion. What you're going to see, so Persian has a closed class of verb. It has predicate complexes that are built out of nouns and a light verb. And it's an SOV, so the verb complex goes at the end. Okay? So what I have in bold is the verb complex at the end of the clauses. What you're going to see is that the speaker is talking about, so he's telling a story when he was a kid. He went out to his grandparents and he was really, really hungry and he wanted to eat, and suddenly someone said, there's airplanes. They had never seen airplanes in their lives, so the kids are running out. They're looking at the sky, they're seeing the airplanes, they get in, the food is gone, and he remains hungry. That's the story. And what you can see with the hand is that any time he switches, the comment part of the utterance starts. His finger jolts open to this gesture. When I saw the gesture the first time, I called my mother, we are Iranians, and I said, Mom, there's this gesture, and I saw it in the miniatures, and do you know this gesture? I described it to her on the phone, and she said, yeah, I know this gesture. It's your father's family that does it. She's from the north, he's from the south. You can see the topic continuing. It's your father's family. I said, so what does the gesture mean? She said, she didn't know. And I said, so where do you know the gesture? Well, it's the pistol hand gesture. And I thought, oh, amazing, it has a name. I said, how do you know the name? She said, I just made it up. So we went with the pistol hand gesture. And as Iranian, this was really unfortunate. You know, I shouldn't have done that. But what you will be able to see is that I will play it a couple of times. You can hear the speaker saying, Taze hava peymat tu Iran peyda shede bud. یعنی 30-40 سال پیش از این ما هوا پیما ندیده بودیم. Okay? So you can see the timing of the gesture combination comes exactly with the predicate complex. When you see this, think about what this means cognitively about the temporal integration of the two modalities. How does the hand know when in time exactly this part of the utterance starts, if this is paralinguistic or nonverbal? There's nothing para about it. Okay. Okay, I need sound. Okay, sorry. Now it starts. I'm going to play it again. It's fast. It's dark. You with me? You want to see it again or you got it? Now you're good? Okay. Okay. So what you can see here is that it's marking information structure. It's operating at a different level, integrated at a different level with the grammatical structure of the utterance, with a different level of what we believe is a different system. Now, I want to show you one more thing, and this has to do with the fact that there is nothing unconscious about gesture. There is nothing that it's a mental overspill and we do it without knowing that we're doing it, or that it is maybe something that we have no idea about. And what I want to show you is an example which doesn't play in my PowerPoint, so I'm pulling it out. Where is my screen? Here. And the story here is, so this is the brother of Mel Brooks, and he's at the Daily Show, and he's telling a story that he went to, he produced a movie, a comedy, and he showed it in an Arab country, and he's talking about the sheikh who talked to him, and what the sheikh said. And I want to and what you can see is that he starts talking, and he's quoting the sheikh. He stops in the middle of his sentence and repeats his gesture and points out in his speech that the gesture was the sheikh's gesture and not his gesture, okay? So what he does, he points out to his interlocutor, and here you can see recipient design at its best, that these gestures are not the continuation of mine. This is the one that I'm quoting in my speech as well as in my gesture. That's monitoring, okay? Let me pull this up. Oh, sorry, where does it, wait, where's my arrow, is my arrow here? Okay.
I'll tell you about, and he said a very nice thing. He said, you know, he says, I think this will help bridge cultures from here. He made a gesture from here to here, and you know.
Want to see it again?
And he said a very nice thing. He said, you know, he says, I think this will help bridge cultures from here. He made a gesture from here to here, and you know.
Okay, so I think this is monitoring and recipient design, which shows you that the message is integrated. Speech and gesture go together, they're monitored together, and you have, if you have a conflict, you correct it as a whole. Okay, let me go back to here. I'm gonna wrap up. Okay. Okay, so let's switch gears and go back where I started, and then we go back to the tools that we are using and the influence that tools have on what we can do with our materials. Video recording is crucial in documentation, but also different purposes of video recording require very different techniques. I like to make the distinction between documentation as opposed to National Geographic documentary, which is a different genre that requires different kinds of techniques and aesthetic ideals. And one problem that we have, if you do a video training isolated from a really theoretically grounded understanding what language use involves, what you get is us trying to be Hollywood, and we cannot, because you're this one person in the field, in the middle of nowhere, with one mediocre $500 camera, and this is what you do. You're not there with 15 cameramen and the storyboard. So what we need to overcome is what I like to call the visual grammar. And when I talk about ASL, that's not American Sign Language, it's average shot length. Average shot length is the average length of a shot in a movie. And there are statistics on the web that shows you that the average shot length in American movies is about 3 seconds. And if you go back to the 1920s, you can imagine how long the shot length was. If you like Iranian movies, they're really slow. They're really slow. What this average shot length grammar in our head by watching these movies all the time and being used to this very fast pace results in is that beautiful shot, speaker telling a story, suddenly the video camera goes zoom, 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 cat, dog, child. You have no idea why it's panned and zoomed. There's no reason, because the dramaturgical panning and zooming, you can't do because you don't understand the language. You're not fast enough to do that. Hollywood does it with masters of editing. The other thing that often happens, just to give you an example, is that people are filmed interview style. You have one single speaker that answers questions to a voice out of the off. Who are they talking to? In order to understand why someone talks the way they talk, you need to know who they're talking to. Who's the interlocutor? What register are they using? Why are they speaking? Why are they correcting? So when I speak to you, and I don't see you nod every now and then, I will go slower. Like her, you see? Did you see my nod? That wasn't for you. It was just for her, because I saw that my time is up. But this means, you know, it's not that I formulate a sentence and finish it. It's interactive. I negotiate with my audience, and everyone does that. And we have no understanding if we have interview style camera. Where do we get that from? We did a training, and it was beautiful. The speaker had a stereo microphone up, you know, and she was talking to someone interviewing. She was doing this. It wasn't a shotgun, so it was picking up anyways. It didn't make any sense to move the microphone continuously, but that's what we are used to see. Okay, I'm gonna catch up, sorry. Okay, the projects that we see also in the ELDP applications, that's my other hat, are still dominated by the Holy Trilogy. And that's still dominated by the understanding that we can live with only audio recording. Language use is still included in only rarely. Languages are systems that have conventions above and beyond the grammatical system. It's a complex, multimodal system. That's where language grammatical processes happen. That's where the changes happen. That's always our idea. We assume that because blah, 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 this structure had this because they had this type of contact, right? Here we can document this. If we conceptualize language use as a form of joint action, right, it becomes apparent that speakers constantly solve coordination problems, and they use different modalities to do that. And it's a very delicate, intricate orchestration. And this leads to the last thing, which is there are questions that researchers are asking now. So we are not doing this for in 50 years, questions we don't know. There are questions that are being asked now and that can be answered now if we have the right materials. So, and this means for video training, it needs to base on solid theoretical grounding. Just having video training, how to use a video camera, doesn't help, because that's not what it is about. You need to know why in order to know how and understand how. And this can provide a rich ground for different uses of the collected materials and can make our impact in linguistic and other fields much bigger than it is right now. Thank you. Okay.
Questions?
Yeah.
Certainly, Doc, you need to convince me on the importance of video recordings after having done the Vinci project in the early 2000s when Nicholas left in the paradigm, and I recorded so many myths only in audio, and he tells at that time they left it, at that time they arrived, and then it was so many moons that they were there, and I don't have all that information because it's just in gesture. But I didn't get your point about the Iranian film. What would we have missed in information structure if we have not, if we would have not seen the gesture in that particular case? All the other cases were very convincing, but what would we have missed if we only had all the information?
Let me, there's two things, right? So one is, this example is about to illustrate that gesture is not only adding semantic information. It's not only about it's over there. So the point is here about there's different levels. I'm trying to make the point, this is a fully integrated system where different levels of linguistic information of what we think traditionally as what is linguistic interact with gesture, right? That's the one thing. So that was what this was supposed to illustrate. It's information structure that gesture is marking. So it's higher level, it's pragmatic information it's giving. Now, I want to throw this question back at you and say, what do you miss if you don't have intonation? So why would you ask this question? And what it shows this question is, again, we could write this down and would have all we need.
I perfectly understand that in the cases of intonation, indeed, the same sentence can have several intonations and then mean very different things. But the information structure in Iranian, which I have no clue about, can or cannot be changed depending on the handshake or the gestures?
This is methodological. I wish I had an utterance in my corpus, and this is of course the issue about, you know, experimental work versus corpus work. I have not an example where this handshake would come first, so it would, the marking of the information structure would be marked in a different way. But that would show you that there's, but I don't have that example. Yes. But I still don't,
Yeah, so I wanted to elaborate a little bit more about the training that is necessary.
Yeah.
And specifically, keeping in mind that, yes, we're one person in the middle of nowhere with a video or camera, trying to figure out the audio recording, negotiating with the people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So how do you make this feasible?
Well, come to my LSA course. I'm going to teach you, you'll be teaching it for 4 weeks. I'm going to be teaching it for 4 weeks. So, I mean, that's exactly the thing. And I think, so there's one level which is technical verseness that needs to be taught. And there are basics. Know your gear, you know, live with what you can get. You want to have recordings that have a steady camera that is running, that's not intrusive, and that's just running for a long time, and then edit out whatever where there's no one in the room. There are certain kinds of techniques that you can use. And there is no one-for-all solution because your field sites are so different, right? When I train African students, it's very different because they have issues with lightning and dark skin than if I train my people in Siberia. The Siberians have other issues. The Siberians have the issue that they have political problems, if there's anyone to see in a video. But there are trainings that need to be embedded, on the one hand, with the pragmatics of it, namely exactly how can you make this happen. But I think the most important thing is that you need to, that you really have to want and understand how important it is, and then know that you're going to find a way, because that's what you do, right? You're masters in problem solving constantly. And video is just one other problem solving thing that you can do. And then, yeah, come to my training. Yes?
Very lovely talk. I've asked this question to a number of people who look at multimodality, and certainly in the video I've been doing with speakers. I have not always done this, but in my own observations, I've really noted how much the feet are doing as well.
Yes.
And I'm wondering whether you've got anything to say about what feet are doing.
I don't know much about feet, but I know we did experiments where we immobilized the hands. We told people, put the hands here. If you move your hands, you get an electroshock. I also did some psychological studies, and what happened was they were going, so then you go to the left. So it comes out in the body, and it depends on the community. We don't know anything.
We don't.
We don't know anything. We know something about English speakers and Dutch speakers and Japanese and a little bit of Italian, beside our ideas about Italians. So you go out, you film it.
When
I look at it.
When you give your prescriptions to people about how to set up a video, please tell them to include me.
Yeah, I do. What I do is when I teach, I train, is that the first weeks you need to spend in observing what the interactional setup is. In a lot of communities, we don't have that close face-to-face, right? If you think about Aboriginal communities, I learned from Michael Walsh that they have a broadcast style. So here, you always have this problem that if there's a speaker here and there's a speaker there, you have no camera that can capture that. You need to make the best compromise you can do. It's part of the metadata, right? If you go to Mexican societies, what you often have is that people sit next to each other and don't look at each other, which for us is very disconcerting because, so when I teach this, I show them Tzeltal data and I show them Yelena data. So the Yelena people are like face to face. A lot of things happen through eyebrow blinks and, you know, body contact and gestures. They have this physical distance. And then I show them Tzeltal data. There's a speaker looking here, a speaker looking there, and one there. And then when I say they're having a conversation, all the Westerners start laughing because it's such an unusual setup. The first thing you need to see is what is the interactional setup and understand it to be able to understand what you can film and how you can do it. So you can't assume that everyone is like us. We have cultures that have gaze avoidance, which is super interesting. How do they do that? How do they structure? How is their feedback system structured if a nod doesn't last? If you have to do it verbally. We know in Tzeltal, for example, what speakers do, this is work by Steve Levinson and Penny Brown, that what they have is the speaker says something and the interlocutor repeats the last part of the sentence and the speaker then repeats again and the interlocutor repeats again. It can become a chorus that goes over 8 turns. That's how their feedback system is, to continue and to verify that they're on the same page. In Yelena, all you get is a pit. Much faster. We don't know anything about it. And this is all not new, right? Ethnography of speaking had all of these ideas. And this is when I talk about language use, vernacular, not only the rituals.